You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Hello, and welcome to Cool Dogs Who Did Dog Stuff. You like what I did?
I love that.
Change the title.
Who let the dogs? Okay, sorry.
Yep. No, yeah, those are your 1.5 times you're allowed. So, I'm your host, Margaret Kiljoy. With me today as both my guest and producer, but not my guest producer, because that's a different term for a different medium, is Sophie. Hi, Sophie.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, thanks.
That was nice.
Yeah. Sophie is best known as a producer of podcasts, but also probably almost equally known as someone who likes dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Equally known for how beautiful my dog, Anderson. Shout out Anderson for being a beautiful, 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 beautiful girl.
Anderson's amazing.
I love you, Anderson.
Ian is our audio engineer, and our theme music was written for us by Unwoman.
You're not going to try to spell that this episode?
I guess I could try to do it so I could get it right this time.
Let's do it.
I swear I write for a living. UNWOMAN.
Crushed it.
Hell yeah. This week, we're talking about dogs. This is part two. In part one, we talked about the bummer stuff. It is a pun because bummer was the one of the dogs
we talked
about.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
Yeah, thank you. We talked about the domestication of dogs. We talked about why dogs and humans belong together. And why mass euthanasia is not the most effective thing that's ever happened in terms of fixing some of the problems between humans and dogs. Today, we're going to talk about riot dogs.
Where are we starting?
We're starting in Greece. Did you read ahead?
I did a little bit.
So, there's a neighborhood in Athens called Exarchia. I really like Athens because there's an Athens in every fucking state.
Yeah.
But this is the OG Athens, Athens, Greece. They have a neighborhood. The neighborhood is called Exarchia. It is the anarchist neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the only ways you will find the word anarchist in mainstream newspapers, but honestly, is if they talk about Exarchia, you kind of can't. That's how anarchist it is. You can't not say it. There's all these jokes in 2020 about anarchist jurisdictions. Actually, they weren't jokes. There's all these strange accusations made about why the government should kill everyone in various cities in the United States for being anarchist jurisdictions.
Yeah.
But Exarchia, anarchists present about as much political power as the actual government does. And that balance goes back and forth all the time. Right now, Airbnb is fucking it up. And I haven't entirely kept up with how things have changed in the 10 years or so since I've been there. But there are or were dozens of squatted social centers. These are huge buildings. Anarchists there house refugees and immigrants and physically stop any attempts by police to deport those immigrants. They run pay-what-you-want cafes. They have open-air movie screenings. There's free health clinics and language classes for migrants. Even the restaurants you have to pay for often give out free food during the general strikes. Greece loves a good general strike. And because, well, I mean, it's literally the birthplace of rule by the people. So they like finding out ways to do that. There is a large squatted park there called Navarinos Park that is run by anarchists. Tourist guides say a self-managed park run by locals which is technically true.
what a great spin on that.
I know. It was built in 2009 when folks just smashed up the concrete and planted flowers and trees because they were like, you know what would be better than another building is if this was a park. We can just do that. And the rules of the park are be respectful and clean. Most of the time in practice, it gets a little trashed during the week. And then every Sunday, volunteers come to the park and clean it up and garden. Police tend to only come into Exarchia in large numbers because when they do, they're often met with Molotovs and rocks. People try to solve problems through self-organizing. While I was there, I went to the weirdest anarchist demonstration I've ever been to, which was the most like the anarchists are in charge demonstration.
Yeah.
It was a Reclaim the Streets demonstration. Normally a Reclaim the Streets demonstration is when you reclaim the streets from like government and capitalism by having a big parade. This time it was a demonstration led by anarchists of all ages to reclaim the streets as public space to be shared by all, because there's a problem with some of the younger punks in the neighborhood who are harassing older people. And so the anarchists threw a like, leave the old folks alone, you assholes. Yeah. It was beautiful. And it was just, and the way they did that wasn't they showed up and be like, we're going to fuck up any of the young punks. No, they just like showed up with like food and shit. And they were like, look, the streets belong to all of us. We are all part of this neighborhood. We all live here together.
It's like, you know? Real community, real mutual aid.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Controversially, from a U.S. perspective, where we have the war on drugs, they also drove out the heroin dealers who were seen as a scourge. And yeah, and it is argued that currently the dealers are coming back with police assistance. And I don't know the actual mechanism of that. As an article in the Daily Beast put it, the freedom and ease of life in Exarchia is preserved by the constant and immediate will to set shit on fire, throw tear gas canisters back at the police, maintain aesthetic control of the neighborhood, and use petrol bombs to remind everyone the place is not for sale. It has been under anarchist control for about half a century, as far as I can piece together. Literally, it's coming up on its 50th anniversary. Because, in order to talk about stray dogs, we're going to talk about Greek military junta.
You love context.
I do. I love it so much. Because from 1967 to 1974, Greece was ruled by what's called the Greek junta, or more poetically, the regime of the colonels, which is a right-wing military dictatorship. Yeah, it probably goes back even further. It goes back to the Civil War, 1944, when Greece was liberated from the Axis powers. There was a civil war between the communists and the governments in exile. The communists lost. The right and the left have been really polarized in Greece ever since. Maybe since before then. But that's as far back as I traced it. In 1967, the right wing staged a coup. In 1968, a centrist guy tried to assassinate the military leader, but he sadly failed. There were large demonstrations, but nothing that really shook the dictatorship to the core until 1973. 1973, a fuck ton of people were like, are you just serious? Are you serious? We have a dictatorship. Fuck this. An entire battleship, the HNS Velos, mutinied. Literally, the commander was part of the mutiny. I didn't know that that could still count as a mutiny, but I guess if the entire ship mutinies against the higher naval thing, right?
Yeah.
They refused to return to Greece. Meanwhile, the students are fighting against conscription. In 1973, students barricaded themselves into the University of Athens. This is in February, the first one of these. And the cops were brutal. They tortured people. They did all that stuff. This didn't stop the students overall. It probably stopped individual students because of the death and the torture. In November, students at the Athens Polytechnic, a university in Exarchia, they went on strike. And their motto was bread, education, and liberty. 40 years later, I was inside the Polytechnic while students were preparing for another demonstration, and I saw one of my favorite pieces of graffiti ever, which translates to anarchy and stale bread, with the argument, the like subtext is, I could live off of only anarchy and stale bread.
I do love that.
Yeah.
I also love bread, education, and liberty.
I know. In 1973, the students took over the university, and the two big political groups in the university, the two leftist groups, including the Soviet-aligned Marxists, were like, no, we don't endorse this, because they were trying to keep their heads down, because the whole point of the military junta was to like crush communism.
Yeah.
And so the Marxists were like, oh, fuck. And the rest of the students were like, all right, Soviet stands, stay the fuck out of our way. And so they barricaded the place and they held the cops off for a night. And the second day, and this is some shit out of a movie, I fucking swear, is now what's called Celebration Day. Thousands of people showed up to support them. And it, I believe this is like basically like when the protests really got large against this dictatorship. A radio tower inside the occupied university that they cobbled together, like literally out of like, the thing I read, it was translated, it was like, out of pieces from the lab, like the science lab, just like fucking put together a radio tower. And they started spitting out demands for freedom. And for the first time, Molotovs started showing up at protests in Athens. And the junta freaked out. They declared martial law, which they had like kind of, I think, walked back a little bit because they'd been around for a little bit. They drove a tank through the gates of the university. 24 people were killed. And this is the part, this is like, the last words heard from the occupied radio station before it went dead were "Hail freedom," spoken in an adolescent voice. And I like that. I mean, very, I don't like that. It's horrible, but
very cinematic.
Yeah, totally. And that's like, I mean, that's one of the things I keep running across with history is like, oh, we actually all live these very cinematic lives. It's just a matter of understanding what's happening and framing things. And anyway, the existing junta was falling in fast. There was another right-wing counter coup, that is to say another right-wing coup to topple the existing right-wing coup. They started cracking down even harder on their own people. This falls apart. In 1974, there were free elections in Greece once more. A referendum to install the monarchy failed and Greece became a republic. And the students were fucking heroes. They had destroyed a dictatorship, I mean, alongside a ton of other people. So for almost 40 years, there was a law that said cops weren't allowed to enter universities because people were like, oh, I don't know, maybe giving students defensible spaces is good for our democracy, because it was.
Yeah.
It destroyed a dictatorship. This was the 1982 academic sanctuary law. In 2019, a right-wing government scrapped that law.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But Exarchia centered around, not centered, whatever, the Polytechnic is in Exarchia, and this became like kind of how this neighborhood became under anarchist control.
Yeah.
And in the 1980s, tens of thousands of anarchists were living in the neighborhood, drawn from around the country, and anti-state, anti-capitalist politics have been seen as a legitimate force in Greek society for a long time. There's also a lot of stray dogs there. Not just Exarchia.
Like, I was like, when are we getting back to
the dogs? Oh, we're back
to the dogs. I was told there'd be dogs, and I told that this would be a happy dog episode.
It is.
Okay.
There's going to be more. There's still more in between. Everything's stories within stories. The Russian nesting dolls of the podcast world. So there's a lot of stray dogs in Athens. Greece tries to vaccinate, sterilize, and track the stray dogs. They don't euthanize. And they haven't had the success of the Netherlands so far, but they do actually have done a lot of work in this direction.
Cool.
And it's going to be a story about the dogs, but now we're going to talk about the riots that made those dogs famous.
So you teased me by saying the word dog a couple times, and now we're, okay.
Talking about a guy again, human.
Ugh,
yeah.
Boring.
They're just Molotovs. It's like almost as good as a dog. It's like, okay, it's like, yeah, but there's like, there's a big gap, right, between Molotovs and dogs, but there's not a lot of stuff between them, you know? There's like people, and they're okay, and then there's Molotovs, which are good, and then there's like lots of dead air, and then there's dogs at the top of everything in the hierarchy of trying to get Sophie's.
All right, just get on with it.
There's this 15-year-old kid who likes hanging out in the streets of Exarchia named Alexandros Grigoropoulos. And on December 6th, 2008, Alexandros was hanging out in the streets with his friends when they got into a verbal altercation with the cops. The cops actually got orders from higher up to leave it alone. And the cops were like, nah, fuck that. They parked, they came over, they started yelling at the kids. The kids didn't back down. And the cops murdered Alexandros. They murdered a 15-year-old. They claimed that their shot was a ricochet. The autopsy disagreed.
Shit.
Yeah. Shocker there. Really.
Yeah.
Really total news to everyone. Within an hour, the riots started. Within 2 days, there were 28 cities across Greece that were on fire, basically. Athens was burning. Molotovs were everywhere. The police station outpost in Exarchia was firebombed by a crowd of 100 people. Students went on strike everywhere. Labor unions went on strike. Air traffic controllers shut down dozens of flights because they went on strike. And it was about Alexandros, but it was about more than that. It was about the failing economy. 2008, as everyone will recall, was a really great time for everyone economically. It was about increasing financial inequality. And it was about authoritarian control of the state. It was about people's demands to live lives of self-determination. So a private company that kept records of individual debt was burned. Their records were burned. Protesters shot out the tires of a police bus with AK-47s by the end of this. Even some cops went on strike and protested against... This actually surprised me. The cops went on strike and protested against the cops. Yeah.
That's so dope.
They intended to quote...
In fight.
Yeah, totally. Intending to quote, state categorically that social problems are not solved by repressive measures.
Oh, do tell, cop.
Yeah, there is a line at which some cops will stop wanting to do that, apparently.
You know, this might not be dogs, but I'm enjoying myself a little bit more than I thought I would be.
All right. See? The riots lasted in full fervor for 3 weeks. They lingered longer after that. There's like famous photos of just like search like Greece Christmas tree fire. And there's like just a massive Christmas tree that they set on fire. It's very dramatic. The police response was brutal. Isolated protesters were beaten to an inch of their lives. A friend of mine was actually curb stomped by police in Athens. I think it was during this, but it might have been during some of the protests a little bit later than that. I talked to a Greek friend about this time. And his perspective was that in the minds of the average Greek person, the anarchists were about as legitimate of a force within society as the police. Like, some people supported the anarchists, some people supported the police, and the rest were like, well, both sides have a point. And that is not a situation that I have ever experienced anywhere else. A Greek woman quoted by the Daily Beast put it, quote, "The day we don't tear things down because the government murdered a child is the day we are no longer human." And I don't know, I think about how often people have to do that all over the world, you know? In these clouds of tear gas, amongst the rock-throwing, Molotov-throwing anarchists who were supported by a surprising percentage of the Greek population, a hero emerged. A hero named Canellos, the first modern riot dog.
Hell yeah.
And because every story is really complicated, it might have been that his heyday was before this. There's lots of conflicting reports about exactly when he first showed up. But this is the story we're going with.
But first, it's time for an ad break.
Oh. Okay, yeah. What's another thing you like for your dog?
So if you are a dog human, if you have dogs and you are a human, you most definitely have come across or purchased a little fluffy toy called a lap chop. It is a squeaky toy that is made by this brand Multipet. And you would think, is that where she's stopping? No, I am absolutely not stopping there. Multipet lamb chop makes a jumbo lamb chop. And it is 24 inches. And Anderson can't recommend enough the jumbo lamb chop. Also comes as jumbo unicorn lamb chop. Comes in many different colors. Sometimes it comes in it as other animals. Anderson goes through them every couple of months. They're her favorite. So sometimes it is jumbo lamb chop. Sometimes it's jumbo black bear. Sometimes it's jumbo tiger. Sometimes we often do the unicorn because they're very, very, very pretty. And they're awesome. And I highly recommend the jumbo lamb chop franchise, I guess.
Hell yeah.
Of toys. Right, Anderson? She concurs.
And here's some other ads.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melanin
Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
And we are back. In all the pictures of all the black-clad protesters with rocks and Molotovs, they had a friend, a medium-sized yellow dog of indeterminable breed.
It's always a mutt, baby.
Always a mutt. There he was barking at cops. There he was posing with the anarchists. Canelos. Canelos was a mutt. Of course he was a mutt. No offense to dogs that had the misfortune of being purebred. It's not their fault. But of course the first riot dog is a mutt.
Yeah.
His medium size and yellow, and his name means cinnamon.
Oh, cool.
And he was on the front lines of every protest for years. One time he tripped cops as they ran down the steps of Syntagma Square, which is like the main
square where all the protests are. Let's go.
Yeah. He was legendary. He was in papers across the world. He was inspiring and an icon. He was also a way that journalists used to like flatten the struggle, right? Because they'd be like, I don't know, Greeks are rioting. Here's a dog. That is not his fault.
It's not his fault that he was also adorable.
I know. Like every legend, it's hard to piece out what's true and what's not. There are three famed and named riot dogs from Greece from the 2008 or 2012 and possibly earlier than that. And they all look really similar. Sometimes people claim they are related. Sometimes people claim they are the same dog. Sometimes the heroic deeds of one are conflated with the deeds of another. I'm certain I will get some stuff wrong here. I cross-referenced every source I could. They all disagree and they're all anecdotal. It's possible that Canelos actually died in 2008 before these particular protests, and it was one of his other yellow dogs that was these ones. But all these dogs were loved, and all these dogs fought hard, and we're going to talk about how they fought. Canelos, he ruled. He gave people hope, and he basically was like, hey, the street dogs are with you. As he aged, he started to get arthritis, and student protesters got him a wheelchair for his back legs. And then helped him along for more marches. There's photos of him like being helped along on these marches, and he's just happy and old. He retired and lived inside the Polytechnic, the university that brought down the fucking dictatorship. At one point, the dog catcher was called on him, and the students revolted until he was freed.
Good.
And he lived among the students until his death at roughly 17 years old.
What a good dog.
Next to rise, yeah. Next to rise in fame is Lukanikos, who is sometimes said to be Canelos' kid. That might be true. I don't know. But street dogs are often sterilized in Greece. And I think Lukanikos at least was sterilized based on... I did a lot of weird research. I was like reading the pieces written by the people who handle the stray dogs in Greece. Yeah. As I was trying to figure out which dogs are which. Lukanikos is the next generation famed riot dog. And since this is Greece, the next generation of riots is less than 3 years later.
Yeah.
In 2010... the Greek economy was fucked. So its leaders were like, hey, what if we get the International Monetary Fund to bail us out and in exchange agree to all kinds of austerity measures that entirely fuck over everyone living in the country? And the other leaders, they all nodded their heads and were like, this is indeed a wise course of action. And not only will it be good, but people will accept it.
Yeah, all right.
Shockingly, they were wrong.
Yeah.
the Greek population was like, actually, we like having a social safety net and a society that believes in taking care of one another instead of all pretending like we want to be America but poorer and fuck each other over all the time. People saw no reason why they had to pay for unpopular and bad decisions made by their leaders, and they had no interest in going along with these austerity measures. So you've got what's called the anti-austerity movement, and it was riots and general strikes, starting in a militant fashion in June 2011 when the Greek parliament voted to agree to the austerity stuff. The protests started out kind of peaceful. Cops were soon like, fuck you, get the fuck in line, we're going to hit you and poison you and fuck you up. So people were like, I'm doing a lot of paraphrasing here, these are not direct quotes. People were like, wow, I don't want to get in line. And also it turns out you can make a Molotov cocktail pretty easily. All you got to do is take a bottle and then and where there are clouds of tear gas, where there are armies of RoboCop riot police marching in uniform, is a show that I wrote this while I was like kind of excited and just like reading about this with my dog on my lap. Where there are rock throwing anarchists, there are riot dogs. Where there are protesters to be protected and cheered up, there's Lukanikos barking at cops. His name means sausage.
That's beautiful.
I know. Okay. According to a Greek person's comment, quote, that I just found on a random article, because this is the only piece that I found, if anything, anecdotal about this part of it. Quote, initially, Lukanikos would go to the demos with the left-wing student group EAAK, and it was only later that he changed his political preferences and went to demos with the anarchists. On another note, I am under the impression that dogs are not affected by tear gas, though one would expect them to be. I could not justify this claim scientifically, but only from experience. Neither Lukanikos nor Canellos nor any of the other dogs that joined riots in Greece ever show any kind of effect from the tons of tear gas that the cops constantly threw at us. So I looked it up. It turns out you can justify this claim scientifically. Most vet sites are like, oh, dogs have more sensitive senses of smell, so they're affected more. But this is not based on experience or study. The opposite is true. You want to guess what group has done the most research about tear gas and dogs? Without reading ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ceiling. probably the people that use the tear gas.
Yeah. Yep. The bad guy team, the canine police unit.
Popo.
Yeah. They want to be able to work in CS gas, tear gas environments. So they test.
So you're telling me they tested tear gas on dogs to see how it would affect them and didn't think about, you know, the negative impacts of that? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, that is what I'm telling you.
Fucking cops, ACAP, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But both the anecdotal experience of protesters and the scientific study of putting dogs into tear gas chambers reveals that dogs are not particularly affected by tear gas, not to the same degree that humans are. Because
dogs are better.
Yes, that's the big part of it.
Yeah.
Dogs have tear ducts that are like 10 times the size of human tear ducts because they have 10 times as many emotions. And not just in proportion to their body are the tear ducts bigger, but like literally objectively size, right? So they flush tear gas way the fuck faster, or lacrimatory agents way the fuck faster, including pepper spray. They've also got what's called a nictitating membrane, or a third eyelid. That's what most people call it because it's easier to spell and pronounce. That hangs out on the inside corner of their eye. It's very effective at protecting their eyes and spreading tears across their eyes. They also don't have sweat glands, so they don't absorb the chemicals in as many places. There are long-term health effects. You should not intentionally expose your dog to tear gas. Looking at you, canine units, you should just let all your dogs retire.
Yep.
Lukanikos, and then you should yourself retire, actually. Lukanikos won even more hearts around the world than his maybe dad did. In 2011, he was nominated for Time's Person of the Year.
I remember that. The only time where I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I'm rooting for you.
And it's funny because they had already changed it from Man of the Year to Person of the Year, you know? And so, like, I just like the. And then one time when cops went on strike, and this might have been the 2009 time, and it might have been a 2011 time, and I do not know, but it was presented as Lukanikos doing it, so it might have been. There were cops on both sides of the protest, and Lukanikos didn't know what to do. But then the non-striking cops started beating up the striking cops, and he sided with the cops who were on strike.
Of course he did, because he's a good boy.
Yeah. There was another dog named Theodorus, or maybe they're the same dog. The people who track stray dogs in Athens say it's the same dog.
What kind
other
of
people
food
say
is that?
Theodorus?
Yeah, is it a food?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I think it means like Theodore.
Oh.
I think it's just a...
Not cinnamon or sausage.
Yeah,
I thought there was a trend.
No, yeah. No, there's shockingly, like when we talk to some of the, when we talk about some of the other South American riot dogs in a little bit, very different naming conventions.
Mm.
So, Theodorus might have been Lucanicos, might not have been all the, whatever. They're all great. Because also, these are just the name dogs. There's like fuck tons of dogs doing all this stuff. And they're just like always there. And they're always helping people out. And Lucanicos was the people's dog for much of his life. He had a collar with his vaccination status that was given to him by the stray dog people. And he was welcome at every squat and organizing center in the city, but he didn't stay put. He would hop around from one place to another. He would basically couch surf across the movement. And in 2012, after a year on the front lines of this particular protest, possibly longer, depending on whatever, whatever, in 2012, he was adopted more formally by a guy and given a loving home. He had food, water, tick collars, veterinary care, and safety. And he lived another 2 years, and he died peacefully in his sleep in 2014. He was buried in the shade of a tree on a hill in the center of Athens, and he died at about 10 years of age. And the reason he died young is probably, the veterinary report says that it was in part due to all the tear gas he'd ingested over the years. There's a bunch of monuments and murals in his honor. He's a character in the 2020 video game Tonight We Riot.
Cool.
Yeah. So I started off this episode as kind of a cute, like, look, it's dogs being cool. But honestly, like, the more I was, like, writing about it, reading about it and all that, like, Lucanicos is as much our comrade as anyone. He worked tirelessly to keep people safe and keep people's spirits lifted. And like everyone, he hated cops and he sacrificed his health to keep people safe. Long live Lucanicos.
Fuck yeah.
I want to take a quick detour to the next country over, to Turkey. Turkey doesn't give us...
Are you going to talk about humans now?
No. Very little. Maybe a little bit. I'm sorry. The humans provide the context that all the dogs live in.
Yeah. No. Fair enough.
Turkey doesn't give us any named personalities of riot dogs, at least not that have made it to the Western media. But it has a beautiful story, which is that there the struggle goes both ways. The dogs fight for the people and the people fight for the dogs. Because in 2004, Turkey passed a law against euthanizing strays, joining the parts of the world that actually took this problem seriously. I'm trying and failing to keep my opinion out of this issue. The government keeps trying to go back to euthanasia, and people keep saying like, no, fuck you, we're not going back to this. And it was this oh, fuck no attitude that got the 2004 law passed in the first place. And whenever municipalities do it anyway, people get real fucking upset at them. But there's, unlike Germany and the Netherlands, there's a ton of stray dogs in Turkey. They're generally not seen as a problem. A recent survey says that about a third of the population sees them as a threat. While there's a bunch of organizations that sterilize and release strays, they put ear tags on them to mark them, there aren't enough of these programs yet. And pets can still be bought in stores, so a lot of people buy them and then abandon them. But on the other hand, there's a ton of cafes and such that care for the animals. And there's a bit of an attitude, there's more of an attitude of like, these are our dogs than is commonly found in more Western countries. So people fight for the dogs. And then in 2013.
As they should.
Yeah. No, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All of the stuff of like, oh, we took care of these dogs who took care of us on the streets. Like, they make me really happy. So in 2013, you've got the Gezi Park protests. There's a park in Istanbul called Taksim Gezi Park. And in 2013, the government was like, what if this was a shopping mall instead of a park? And the people of Istanbul were like, what if the fuck it was not?
Cool.
So it started with people occupying the park to prevent development. For 2 weeks, they occupied the place. And then it spread all over Turkey.
Cool.
Like all major movements, it was about a lot of things. It was about the park. It was about public space. It was about free speech and assembly, about having spaces not be just about places you buy and sell shit. It was also about fuck Erdogan and authoritarianism. It was also about environmentalism. And then I really like this part. The government called them all looters. So the protesters, rather than being like, we're not looters, we're the good protesters, unlike the bad protesters, just all of the protesters were like, yeah, we're looters. That's the name. That's the word for us. The word is looter.
Cool.
Eventually, the moment passed. Erdogan is still in power, but Gezi Park is still there. It did not become a mall. And the dogs who lived in the park were part of the protest, and all the dogs who were around the surrounding area, and they were showing up as riot dogs, and they were, you know, defending people and fighting back against the police. And there were also pets would come out, and they'd have signs around their necks and stuff, and they would have like signs that say things like, close the park and I'll shit in the mall. Cops were particularly brutal to the dogs in these protests, leaving us with photos of people washing pepper spray out of some good boy's eyes. And the news wants you to believe that these dogs were there because of the commotion, that they weren't there to defend the park. But this was their home. Militarized police came in and the dogs joined people fighting back against police coming into their home. I think all of them are good pups.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing dogs are going to do, it's going to protect their territory.
Yeah. Yeah, and the people who care for them.
Yeah.
And finally, we're going to talk about the most famous riot dog of them all. Who has the coolest name?
But first,
what is my dog like? When I'm driving my dog around in my giant truck, I have a little like folding dog crate that he doesn't stay in, but the entire back seat I put the crate in so that he has a place to lie down and feel safe. And then also while he's laying down, it's like safer if I get into an accident or whatever. I really like my travel crate. I have no idea the brand.
I have one as well in my car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anderson has like a soft thing. She can go in there if she wants to. She doesn't have to.
Yeah.
If I'm on the freeway, I always zip it up. It's very safe. It's buckled in.
Nice.
Drive safely with your animals.
Yeah. And then these other ads.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
And we're back. And we're going to talk about El Negro Matapocos.
Fuck yeah.
The black cop killer. Sometimes just El Negro, the black. Which means that I get to talk about the Argentinian student uprising. Hey, this is my way of getting everyone to hear about all these
protest movements.
Context. Yeah. The Argentinian student uprising of 2011 to 2013, sometimes called the Chilean winter, because most of it happened in that first winter. And I always talk about these huge protest movements and uprisings from 50, 100, 200 years ago, but it's worth remembering these happen all the time. I'm sure another one is coming. You can just wait or not wait, whatever floats your boat. In Chile, Most education is privatized, and it was getting more so. Tuition was going up. The rich were getting good educations. The poor were not getting good educations. People didn't like this. It turns out people don't like when that happens. The uprising was also about economic inequality, lack of opportunities for people to lead dignified lives. And the protests led to hundreds of injured protesters, hundreds of injured police officers, and one dead student. And once again, in the tear gas, a hero arrived. A medium-sized black mutt, always a mutt, with floppy ears and a red bandana and an unwavering commitment to justice. Yeah. And I actually can't, I have more details about him than any of the others.
Let's go.
Matapakos wasn't actually a stray dog, not really, sort of, half stray. He was a stray who mostly stayed with a woman named Maria Campos, who took him in and kept a bed for him and fed him, but let him come and go whenever he wanted. And she basically, like, one day fed this stray, and he was like, yeah, I like it here, I'll stay here. At first, she gave him a cape that he wore, but after he came home soaked by a police water cannon, she switched to a bandana. And sometimes it was red and sometimes it was blue. She'd change it up on different days. Whenever a protest would pop off, there's video of her talking about this. Whenever a protest would pop off, he'd scratch at the door, desperate to go out and get into the fray. So Maria would bless him, drawing a cross on his head with her thumb to protect him from evil and danger, then open the door, and he'd go running downtown to the protests. I think she lived near downtown, but sometimes he took the bus by himself, I think. I've seen video footage of him on a bus, and he's not with anyone.
There's several dogs that have done that.
Yeah, fucking cool.
It's so cute.
Yeah. One day, Maria was like randomly downtown and saw her own dog leading a march of students on the next street over or whatever. students referred to him as a reincarnated student. And a lot of mythologizing has been done around Matapakos. Yeah. And it's beautiful because it's less, as compared to poor Lukanikos, where it got flattened in the media and other countries, this feels like it was like myth building by movements. And also, I mean, whatever, it's all these things. Okay, so a lot of dogs would march with the students. They would attack police. They would defend students. In a short documentary about Matapakos, the filmmaker asks some students, have you ever seen a dog defend the police? The students reply, no, not even those who walk with them. And in a material sense, the dogs, often dozens at a time, offer these protests a lot of things. They're unafraid of chemical weapons and fire hoses. They would like literally like, Rinshaw would totally do this. They basically play with the fire hose water, you know? They're like, I'm going to get that water, you know?
Anderson would love that.
Yeah. They form a physical buffer in front of protests sometimes. There's footage of water hose tanks on the tanks, like not tanks of water, but, you know, big things on wheels, whatever. Unable to advance because they can't effectively clear the dogs off the street. They also serve as icons, and I mean that in the religious sense. While the church during these protests was up there with the state and the police as one of the major repressive forces that people are fighting against, he was essentially canonized in a folk Catholic way, right? And you have people, you know, doing the blessings and all that stuff, and there's images of him with a halo. And he just became a living symbol of revolt, him and the other dogs. Street dogs defending the streets from those who tried to deny it. Since street dogs, they're defending the streets from those who try to like deny the streets to the people, they become this like clear example of downtrodden fighting back and just being like, no, we've got this, we're doing this together. And he was not soon Matapakos was not the only dog with a bandana tied around its neck. Basically everyone like started going around and giving all the riot dogs bandanas and became the symbol of it. There's a 2013 documentary about him called Matapako that's on YouTube. It has English subtitles if your Spanish is as bad as mine. And he's really fucking cool. He survives all of this. He is a dog, so he doesn't live as long as people. El Negro Matapakos died peacefully on Saturday, August 26th, 2017. He was maybe 16 or 17 years old. I've also seen 12, but most of the time I see 16 or 17.
I'll never forgive whoever made that decision to make dogs' lives so short.
That is fair. It is an unforgivable thing that has been done.
Whatever, whoever decided that, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. He was surrounded by his loved ones. and there are uncountable murals carrying him on. And as for the protest itself, I don't think it's accurate to talk about protest movements like winning and losing. The student movement didn't win its demands. It laid the groundwork for another uprising in 2019, but it's better to just see history as this ebb and flow of energy and power, a fight between liberation and repression. We win by being on the side of liberation, of education, of workers' rights, of dignity, of helping out the street dogs. And in 2019, 2 years after his death, the black cop killer became a symbol once more as the country sprung into revolt. A black dog with a red bandana is now the symbol of revolt for much of the world.
I was going to say, like, people probably don't even realize that this image is super popular. Probably don't even realize you've seen it, but it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's dope.
Yeah, it's so good. I really like, people will go up to statues of dogs, like any random statue of a dog in a public place and tie a red bandana around its neck.
Yeah.
And red bandanas, we've talked about before on the show, is a symbol of going back at least as far as the Battle of Blair Mountain in West Virginia, which you can listen to our episode from last year about when black and white miners tied red bandanas around their necks and went to a literal war against the coal companies that were murdering them. And this might be and might not be the origin of the term redneck. And so I like this continuation of the red bandana as a symbol. In the 2019 and 2020 protests, we've got two more named riot dogs that come up. Pepe Matapacos and El Vaquita, which means the little cow. El Vaquita won the 2019 Character of the Year Award in his city of Antofagasta. I suspect it was Person of the Year until El Vaquita won, you know?
That's so cool.
Yeah. And protesters had his back as well, the little cow. One time he got lost in a neighborhood and he didn't know this particular neighborhood after a particularly tough fight with the police. So protesters used Facebook to coordinate a rescue of him, and then someone walked him back to the streets he did know so that he could find his way home. And when cops, he survives this, when cops shot him with a rubber bullet, protesters get him to the vet, because We Keep Us Safe includes animals. And there's one more.
Yes.
We're going to talk about another S-tier dog. This one's
This
one's a goat. But still an honorary dog. Biquette, the grindcore goat.
I thought you were saying the greatest of all time. And then I was like, oh no, she means like
a literal goat. Yeah, no,
that's
totally.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll let goats have a have
when
time.
In doubt, I am not successfully using contemporary slang.
That's why I was like confused for a second. I was like, don't think that we're getting into LeBron James today. So
yeah, who I'm aware of as a player of basketball.
Hell yeah, you are.
Probably because of you. So
yep,
Biquette, the grindcore goat. Biquette was a goat who loved grindcore. Thus, the grindcore goat. Grindcore is this really extreme punk metal genre. It goes really fast. The songs are like really short. And people scream about stuff. The anarchist band Napalm Death is probably the most famous band that played grindcore. They're in the Guinness Book of World Records for the shortest song ever recorded. You Suffer is 1.316 seconds long. So, not very long songs. Biquette lived on a punk rock farm. Have you ever seen the video, the photos of this?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you should look up Biquette. Biquette. Yeah.
This fucking goat. This is so metal.
Yeah. Biquette lived on everyone at home, if you're not out doing a thing, you should, if you haven't already seen his images. Biquette lived on a punk rock farm and I can't pronounce French words, and I try less hard than other countries for some reason. In Marillac, France. And this farm threw shows. And she hung out with every band that toured, and she was always in the audience at every show, and pictures of her go viral every now and then. And the name Biquette the Goat translates to Goat the Goat, because Biquette means a young female goat. The punks at Marillac rescued her from a slaughterhouse when she was 5 years old. Basically, she'd been a milk goat. When she stopped producing enough, she was going to get sent to the slaughter, but then the punks were like, give her to us instead. And she spent the next and last 5 years of her life listening to punk, sleeping in front of speakers, trying to eat everyone's cigarette butts and drink everyone's half-empty beers, and basically living her best life. One of the people on the farm, named Flo, said about her, quote, "She was most connected to grind. Seeing as the barn floor where we throw the concerts is wooden, I think that she felt the vibrations in her hooves. The majority of the time, she even laid down next to the speakers." She died young on December 9th, 2013. A goat can live 15 years easily, but she died at 10 years old. However, she got to live 5 years as the punk rock goat instead of dying at 5, which is what her actual fate would have been if the punks hadn't intervened. And there are many, many more very good dogs of many different species. And I'm sure I'll return to this topic in the future. But for now, go hug a dog, including cat dogs and goat dogs and parrot dogs. Don't hug bears or wolves. They're not dogs. They're great too, but they don't need your hugs unless you work at a wildlife sanctuary or some shit. That's what I got. That's what I got about good dogs.
I love this.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to do this week. And then I was like, no, I'm doing dogs.
Yeah.
Dog time.
It's good doggo time, which is, you know, every day at my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, yeah. I'm working on a tabletop role-playing game called Penumbra City that you can back on Kickstarter if it is currently June 2023. If it is before June 2023, you can look for it on Kickstarter and sign up for notifications. If it is after June 2023, you can just buy it like a regular person. And then you can play a tabletop role-playing game that I should have a little thing about in front of me, but I don't. But if you want to be an occultist who talks to the dead at seances while your friend who ran away from the army but kept an exoskeleton is hanging out while someone else who's an orphan who eats fungus to commune with rats and send swarms of rats against the priests who sacrifice gods, all that stuff, then you might like this game and you can play it. What do you got?
Do you like listening to Cool Zone Media podcasts?
I do.
Do you ever listen to Cool Zone Media podcasts and go, oh man, that would have been so much better if there wasn't an ad there?
I don't know if I'm contractually allowed to say yes.
Well, I would like to let our listeners know that we are launching, or have launched, depending when you listen to this, Cooler Zone Media, an ad-free listening experience and exclusive access to never-before-seen bonus content that is on Apple Podcasts.
What kind of podcasts are on Cooler Zone Media?
That would be our entire back catalog of Cool Zone Media shows and all of our current shows. So you'll get access to ad-free access to all Cool Zone Media shows, like Cool People Do the Cool Stuff. So you can find Cooler Zone Media in your Apple Podcast app today and subscribe for instant access.
Da-da-da.
God bless.
And you can say, I'm in, when you do it, and then everyone will think you're probably less cool than they did before you said it.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool, I really like the art that is for this, that it's our ship, but cooler.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't seen it yet.
Like literally icy, like cold.
Hell yeah.
When I was telling our internal team that we were doing this and, you know, being like, yeah, we're doing this, people get more money, yay. I just like had the graphic up and none of them knew what it was. And I was like, this is great. Right. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Visual puns. They're not the right audience for it.
Yeah. We're an audio medium. They don't get the visual stuff.
No,
it happens.
But you can get that visual as well as mostly audio.
And speaking of visuals, if you would like to see photos of my dog, you can follow me on the interwebs. I'm at @y_Sophie_y on Twitter, where I post stuff of Anderson, but it basically my entire Instagram is just Anderson content daily. And that is @Sophie_Ray_of_sunshine. There's probably other underscores in there. I'm not good at saying it out loud. But yeah, there's that. And I mean, Magpie, you post lots of photos of your dog on your Instagram, right?
That's true. I'm at Margaret Killjoy on Instagram, at Magpie Killjoy on Twitter. And we'll probably eventually actually start looking at Blue Sky. At the moment, I don't. I probably will.
Perhaps. Like a dog.
Bye, everyone.
People Who Did Cool Stuff is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. UndercoverTourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.